Quiet Mind, Day 66. The Ego's Collective Madness. How paranoia and self-importance keep us trapped in ancient suffering. Ego isn't just an individual problem, it spreads. Entire nations, religious groups, and political ideologies can become infected with it. And when they do, things get messy fast. History books are littered with the evidence. Witch hunts, inquisitions, genocides, wars based on paranoia. These aren't random flukes, they're the collective version of me against them, the ego's favorite game, played out on a massive, bloody stage. The more unconscious a group becomes, the more likely it is to use violence as a way of asserting identity. Arguments become battlegrounds, because each person thinks their opinion is them. Disagree with their idea? You're attacking them. So naturally, defenses flare, voices rise, fists may follow. The ego can't tell the difference between a thought and a threat to its life. And so it fights. Hard, loud, often with flags. Want peace? Don't chase the truth. Just stop gripping your opinions like a toddler with a toy. You're not your thoughts. When you let go of needing to be right, something deeper, your actual self, has room to show up. Ironically, some of the most ego-free people aren't monks or mystics. They're hairstylists, photographers, nurses, teachers. People so tuned into what they're doing, so present with the moment, they became a portal for presence. They do the task not for attention, because it's what's in front of them. In those moments, they are ego-free, maybe without even knowing it. Their energy, their ease, their quiet focus becomes contagious. Even the most guarded person starts to soften around them. That's not just good work, that's healing. On the flip side, people ruled by ego are easy to spot. Everything they do is half-hearted because their full attention is on how they look doing it. They crave recognition like air. They get offended when things don't go their way. Instead of solving problems, they sulk, complain, lash out, or sabotage others. Why? Because when someone else succeeding feels like a threat to their identity. And if you wonder why life keeps throwing wrenches in their plans, it's because the universe tends not to cooperate with people who refuse to cooperate with others. Even illness becomes an ego playground. For some, being sick softens them, opens them. They become more present, more loving. For others, it becomes a performance. I'm a sufferer becomes their new name tag. They wear their diagnosis like a badge of specialness. And the ego loves special. So it digs in and makes the illness part of their identity. Ironically, this clinging to suffering can delay healing or block it altogether. Sometimes illness lowers the ego's volume simply because the body has no energy left to power it. In those rare moments, people access a quiet wisdom they never touched before. But once the energy returns, often so does the noise. Unless awareness has truly taken root, ego always tries to reclaim the throne. This is the ego's pattern. It feeds on separation, thrives on conflict, and sees everything, including health, as a tool for self-definition. And the cure isn't heroic. It's simple. Start seeing. Start noticing. When you spot the ego in yourself or others, not with judgment, but with awareness, the spell breaks. And in that awareness, sanity returns.